Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome to a new year, to a new decade of Talking Golf Getaways. Glad to have you with us. As always, I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He is still Darren Bunch out there in California somewhere. Thanks for making us a part of your regular podcasting routine, which we both know you do. We're on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Player FM, and as you, of course, by now know, at the fabulous GolfTripX.com. You can find us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find Darren at Golf Getaways on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Mitch Lawrence, and by now you know it's L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E, throughout the online and ever-expanding cyber universe. Dee, happy to be here, a new year, always look forward to it anyway, but the whole new decade thing is pretty cool to me. Feels like new beginnings and a new start, so I'm glad we're here together, and we're going to keep going and have some fun.
Yeah, who knows what this decade will have in store for us. We did quite a bit in the previous decade, filled it up, so to speak. And, you know, we've all got different things going on now in this new decade, but we're going to keep rolling with the podcast and keep talking about golf.
And that's a great thing. And we might as well start, speaking of Instagram and you being on Instagram, and this was a total surprise to me because you hadn't shared that you were going to do this. But what you're doing on Instagram now, and I want to find out quickly because we're going to talk Alabama and Gulf Shores, and there's tons to talk about from a recent trip that my wife Ava and I went on. But you started something called 365 on Instagram, and I saw the first one, which was one of 365, an obvious allusion to the number of days in the year and the fact that you're going to be putting something up every day of the year. And it kind of floored me. It was so great and remains great, even though you're into day, whatever you're into by now. But the posts are so awesome. And just tell the listeners a little bit about how you came up with the idea and why you wanted to do this.
Well, I was just going through my phone and I realized we have so much stuff, you know, that we shoot on these trips that maybe never, ever sees the light of day. We talk about stuff on the podcast. You know, we write different stories. We post some things on the different social media. But there's just a lot of photos that we snap over the course of the last 10 years. And I just thought, you know what, here's a way to kind of recap that decade and take the whole year and do it. And so I try to put one up every day and write some type of a small little story to go with it. And, you know, hopefully people are enjoying it. And it has yielded some interesting comments. And, you know, a lot of people are giving it love, you know, seeing the different pictures. And I really do it at random. I kind of just whatever happens to strike me. Sometimes I just literally just swipe with my finger down through the photos and wherever it lands, I start looking from that point on and say, oh, this is the one I'm going to do today.
And it's really great. You blew me away with three of 365, obviously, in a very kind post that took me by surprise because we know anybody who listens to this podcast knows how we treat each other. But it was a very thoughtful and kind and absolutely fantastic thing that you put up there. I was grateful for it, and I can tell you that very honestly. And hopefully people, again, they'll just go to Golf Getaways on Instagram and start following along because there's great stuff. And certainly you have been in that last decade all over the world and back. It's really cool.
Yeah, and the coolest thing has been, you know, when people tell their own stories, and that's one of the things I like about Instagram. You have a little bit more space for people in the comments to tell their own stories. And mm-hmm. So one of the posts, and I don't remember which day it is, they're starting to run together, Mitch, but it was at Royal Troon. I had a great time at Royal Troon. I had played somewhere, I was out there by myself a couple Septembers ago, and I had played somewhere in the morning. I think I'd been up to been to Turnberry, and then I'd come back, but I was staying there at the Marine Hotel right there at Royal Troon, and it was late in the afternoon, and I just grabbed my camera and went out and started shooting pictures, walking the golf course. There was nobody on the golf course late that afternoon. I got some fantastic weather. I don't know. Have you been to Royal Troon?
Yes.
We have not been there together, but you,
yes,
you
I have.
So you're familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got out to the seventh hole, which is a par four. And when you're on the seventh green, you can kind of look back at the famous postage stamp eighth,
mm-hmm.
and the little path goes right up from that green up to the elevated tee box for that hole. And I got what I thought was kind of a cool picture of that green and shooting back toward the postage stamp. And I posted that in this 365. And our friend Dan Hickson, golf architect, who has been on the show, we've done an episode with him. And in fact, we're going to do another episode if I can ever, you know, get off my butt and get it edited. he, in the comments, he said, hey, I have a friend, and he didn't want to name the friend, but who made a hole in one there. And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting story. I need to hear more about that. So as you know, the seventh, this par four, is kind of a little dog leggy par four, that where the dog leg is right in front of where the eighth green is, where mm-hmm. the postage stamp green is. And so Dan Hickson has a friend who teed off on the seventh and made a hole in one on the eighth green, which I think is the greatest story I may have ever heard in the history of golf.
That is unbelievable.
The guy pushed it right off that tee, hit it up there. Apparently there were people on the green who went nuts when it went in. And I can't even imagine what I would do if something like that happened.
How great. That may be the greatest golf story ever.
I can't think of one to beat it. It just so much, it was just so funny when he said it. And I was like, are you serious? And he goes, yeah. And he won't divulge who the person was, but Dan's a good player, obviously, we know. And I'm sure he plays with pretty good players. And this guy just happened to push it and have it the right length.
Oh, I would love to know too, and get that guy on for him to talk about it. Of course, what it means now is that any dog leg that I play where there's an adjacent par three or even a par four with a green next to it, forget me trying to hit a fairway. I'm going for the hole in one.
You just want to make the unorthodox hole in one.
I do. And I want to add to Dan Hickson's growing legacy, which started just now, right now.
Oh, such a great story. And you know, we get those stories on Instagram a lot. So, I mean, if you're out there and you're looking at the 365 and, first of all, if you have suggestions, while you're listening, you know, let me know. I'll put up whatever people want to. We've been all over the place and we've talked about a lot of it on the podcast, but you know, tell us your stories too, because that's the great thing about talking golf is, you know, hearing the crazy things that other people have done as well.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to some, it's not crazy. It was an absolutely wonderful trip. We're going to kick the decade off right. And this was a pretty special trip for me because it was a fantastic couples trip that was organized by, you know her, you love her, Pam Shaheen, who puts together legendary golf trips for media, among other things. And she is well known for that particular thing that she does. I had never been on one of Pam's trips, but I've heard so much about them. And so when I got the invite from Pam to come to Gulf Shores in Alabama, originally it was just what we call in the business, a fam trip, which is short for familiarization trip for the media.
Correct.
And so I was going to try to get down there just because I'd heard so much about Pam and these great trips. And then she got back to me and she said, we've changed it a little bit and we're making it a couples trip. And as you know, Ava, my lovely and talented wife, plays golf. We've traveled all over playing together. And it was really the first chance on one of these fam trips that I had to bring Ava along in this particular way. So I asked, she said, yeah, sure. It was in late November, so it was a good time. And we just decided to go ahead and go down. And it turned out to be one of those weeks on all fronts that was really special and that both Ava and I are going to be remembering for a long time. Basically, Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, which is right next door on the Gulf of Mexico, is a fantastic spot. And I think one, Darren, I know you've been there. We'll talk about your trip a little bit along the way. We've covered Alabama and Alabama golf a lot on the Talking Golf Getaways podcast. We had touched on Gulf Shores and a couple of the spots previously. But for me, I was really in the dark about Gulf Shores. Hadn't been there, hadn't been anywhere close, hadn't been on my radar, which is a reason I wanted to go. And so this was, again, a great chance. Ava is going to join us later in the podcast just to give some thoughts from her point of view about what it meant to her. But I'm going to quickly just give you briefly how it was set up. And again, I'll mention Pam Shaheen and the great job she does. It's impossible to describe the kind of trip Pam puts together if you haven't been on one, Darren.
Oh,
I mean,
food.
And everything.
Food, the travel, the places she puts you up, the golf she turns you on to. She is, if not the best, one of the best, but I think the argument could be made that she is the GOAT of fam trips.
Yeah, and I would have to, I mean, I've been on some other ones, but from my point of view, and we love other people who do it, but I don't think anyone has ever paid attention to the details, the myriad details, to make a trip really special for everybody that goes than Pam. So I want to give her a shout out. And I also want to thank somebody else, Kay Mahan, who's the PR manager for Gulf Shores Orange Beach Tourism down in Alabama. And the two of them together, the team that they are, is off the charts. I can't think of any twosome that really is better at what they do. And there were also a lot of other people involved. I won't name them because I'll forget somebody and then I'll feel terrible. But with big thanks to everybody who helped out shepherding this. There were 12 of us in all on this trip, and it was, as I said, couples. So that's what made it fun. It gave everybody a chance to get to know each other a little bit better. I'm going to talk about pretty much everything that we did. I'll try to keep it relatively short because there was so much. Nobody packs more into 4 days in Gulf Shores than Pam Shaheen. But you can get all the information you need. There's two spots, really. GulfShores.com is a great spot to go for all things about Gulf Shores and Orange Beach. And then if you're interested in packaging relative to the Gulf Shores area, you can go to CoastalAlabamaGolf.com. So between those two, you can get all the information you need. I'll give those again at the end of the podcast in case you didn't get to write it down. But it's a great time now as we do this podcast early in 2020 to start planning for trips. Really, the best part of the year is the spring and the fall. Summers, as we know, in Alabama can be a bit warm, although you've got this amazing, amazing beachfront, which I'll talk about in a little while, to help you through it. But the spring and the fall are fantastic times to plan a trip to the Gulf Shores area in Alabama. And Kay agrees with me. She says she's been doing this a long time, and those are her two favorite times of the year. So I'm going to agree with her on that. Darren, I'm going to just quickly talk about this because I thought a lot about it before we did the podcast. And I think the basic thing to me, the strength, the really big strength of Gulf Shores and Orange Beach are that, as we know, there's a lot of great destinations that are just about pure golf and nothing else. And we've been to a number of them. People know about them. The Bandons, the Sand Valleys, the Cabots, the Stream Songs, even though it's near Orlando, those places where you literally just go to play golf and hang and eat some food. But one of the fantastic things about Gulf Shores is that it does offer a whole lot of other things to do. It is not just purely a golf destination, even though there is great golf there. And I was really unprepared for what a cool, laid-back vibe Gulf Shores has. And I can say that because I live in Myrtle Beach. I'm as familiar as anybody with a beach golf destination. And one of the things about Gulf Shores that really struck me the more time we spent was this real feeling of, because it's not a place that's crammed full as a tourist destination, there's a lot of space there and you don't feel cramped at all. And to me, that was a really big part about what makes this place special. So 12 of us gathered. I'm going to quickly do something which normally you and I don't do, but I think is important because I'm just going to mention who was on the trip briefly because they're going to be putting up a whole bunch of things about Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, all of them talented. The biggest part of the takeaway for me and for Ava was getting to spend time with our great friend Tony Deere and his wife, Michelle, who I had never met Tony, I've obviously met before, but we got to spend a ton of time with Tony and Michelle. Tony's piece is going to be coming up in Colorado Avid Golfer, so look for that. Glenn and Deb Turk from Midwest Golf Magazine, Greg and Beverly Wise from Golf Central Magazine, Fred and Pat Altvader from Ohio Golf Journal, and Joe Burkhart and Christine Terra from Tri-State Golf and Golf Destination Magazine. That was the group that gathered. And as I said, I knew Tony. We both got to meet Tony and Michelle. I had not really met and spent any time with the other people, briefly here and there, but never really spent any time. So that was a big thing, and it was a great group of people. I'm going to start out, Darren, and I don't think you were know about the lodging because it was such a big part of where we were. But we got to stay at a really amazing place called the Turquoise Place by Spectrum Resorts, and it's in Orange Beach, and it's right on the Gulf of Mexico. Outside, it is a huge building, and as the name would imply, turquoise, the whole outside of the building. You can see it from miles away. And again, had no idea what we were getting into. I just knew that there was going to be beautiful, as Pam put it, ultra-luxurious condos. And so we got there, 3, 4, 5-bedroom condos. And when they say luxurious, they're not kidding. They go from, check this, 2,300 to 5,000 square feet.
That's enough room to spread out a little bit.
Yeah. So we had a 3-bedroom condo. And as it turns out, we were lucky enough to actually share it with Tony and Michelle Deere. And if you're going with a golf group or a couple of families, a couple of couples, if you've got some kids, these places are off the charts. Everyone has an incredible balcony overlooking the Gulf of Mexico, each one with a hot tub, with a grilling station, tons of room. So we spent a lot of time out there talking and just hanging out. And again, the views of the Gulf in the morning and at night, sunsets, everything. They have a place called the Spectrum Club Lounge. They have daily complimentary breakfasts, which are great. And it's also a great time. I know you and I and our friend Eric Hart, our partner Eric Hart, is a big family guy. And the Spectrum Club Lounge is a great spot besides the breakfast. They have a lot to do for families. They have video games and ping pong, billiards, which means a lot to us. They have indoor and outdoor seating. Great spot to just hang. So you can go to turquoiseplace.spectrumresorts.com, find out a lot about that. But it was a great place for all of us to be gathered. So every day we would go out and get to it.
And this, is that where you stayed the entire trip? You were in the one place?
Yes.
Because so often, and maybe the listeners don't know this, when we do these familiarization trips, these fam trips, you know, sometimes you're on the, the Bataan Death March, where
right.
It's like...
Or the Bataan Death March.
That's what I meant.
As it is actually called.
That's what I said.
I'm not sure. Mitch. The Bataan Death March sounds either like a relay race, hell, or some kind of marching band leader, hell.
Oh, it sounds like... Yeah, like.
But we'll settle for Bataan.
Like cheerleaders marching?
Yes.
Anyway... too often, you know, where you're packing up and you're changing every night for mm-hmm. lodging. And so these types of places, I think, are more akin to what the golf traveler's actually looking for, is that a place that I can make my home base. I can stay there for 3 or 4 nights, and then I can go do all the golf and beach and everything else that I want to do from that spot. And then you don't have to spend so much time packing and unpacking.
Yeah. And the beauty of, again, the Gulf Shores area is everything is really relatively close. I don't think we drove anywhere on any of the things we did during this trip that was more than, say, a 45-minute drive. And granted, we had Kay shuffling us around in this big van altogether, which was absolutely great because it relieved us of any problems relative to dinner, bars, drinking,
yep.
You know, that kind of stuff. But it was great to have her, but also everything just really close. So staying at Turquoise Place was a great find. And if you go to gulfshores.com, you'll see that there's other resorts in the area. We had dinner, which I'll get to when we get to the food part of this trip, at Perdido Beach Resort, which is another great spot where it has all kinds of stuff, a lot of restaurants, and you can stay. And so Gulf Shores has it all when it comes to this, and it was great to have a central and comforting. By the second day, you really feel like you're home when you get back there. you know, big, huge kitchen and just a lot of areas to relax, be by yourself if you want, or have fun and just gather and talk about a bunch of stuff. So let's move to the golf, since this is primarily what we talk about. And I'm going to start with a place that I don't believe you got to go to, which is Kraft Farms.
Right. I have not been to Kraft Farms, but everybody I've heard who has been there has really, really enjoyed it.
Well, the reason I want to start with us, it wasn't the first place we played. But the reason I want to start with Kraft Farms, because it has a really special kind of history in the Gulf Shores area. And if it wasn't for Kraft Farms, even though Gulf Shores, which I'll talk about in a minute, had been built earlier, if it wasn't for Kraft Farms and the story of Kraft Farms, I don't think Gulf Shores would be nearly the kind of golf place it is without what happened at Kraft Farms. And quickly, there was a guy named R.C. Kraft. He was a farmer, grew up in Georgia. He grew gladiolas, mainly, and strangely. But he did other kinds of farming, and he moved down the coast as time went on. He went to Florida.
I'm sorry, what is a gladiola?
It's a flower.
Oh, okay.
And I should have known you wouldn't know what that is. Some people listening might.
It's not as exciting as I thought it was going to be.
No, I could have made something up, but why go there? But anyway, he was into farming, and as he kind of moved down the coast and went to Florida, spent time in Fort Myers, and got to see people moving to that part of the country, and ultimately, long story short, wanted to get to the Alabama region, and his son Robert got involved in sod farming. And I'll tie this together now, because they decided, R.C. and Robert, in the 70s, that they could see, they sensed an influx of people coming to the Gulf Shores area, and they decided they wanted to build a golf course. But if you're a couple of farmers looking to get a loan to build a golf course in Gulf Shores that really didn't have any kind of golf history as a destination, they said, okay, we need to do something special. So they went out and they talked to a guy named Arnold Palmer. And at the time, the Palmer Group was trying to get into the golf management side of things, and they didn't have a place yet. So they convinced Robert and R.C., convinced Arnold to come down and take a look at this property in Gulf Shores. And from the story, Arnold comes down and he meets these guys who he really liked, because they were just farmers. They were really two guys from the earth. You know, they loved that. Arnold was a guy from Latrobe who grew up on a golf course, riding a tractor. He loved that part of it. And he goes to the sod farm, and he became so involved and interested in this sod farming operation that he spent the whole first part of the trip riding around the sod farm and learning about sod farming. So they bonded. They take him over to the site. Arnold goes, okay, I'm in. He then goes to the bank and says, okay, I want to get involved. The bank obviously goes, here's money. And it was because of that bonding that Kraft Farms came to be. And so the first course at Kraft Farms was opened in 87. It's called Cotton Creek. And I just thought that the history of that part of it was fascinating because, as I said, golf was not big. Gulf Shores Golf Club had been there, but it was not the draw. It was certainly not the draw that Arnold Palmer was. So they built Cotton Creek, and we got to play that 18. There's another 18 called Cypress Bend that opened in 93. But the Cotton Creek course is interesting. It's the foundation of a real golf community. A whole housing development grew up around the golf course. The clubhouse is incredibly important, and everything there is about the community that was built there and all the things that people could do at the golf course. And you and I, Darren, talk a lot about modern courses and places that are being built now, but going to Kraft Farms was interesting to me because there is nothing kind of tricked up about it. It's basic Arnold, Cotton Creek especially, is basic kind of 80s Arnold Palmer, Ed Say design. There's nothing fancy or tricked up about it. There's a lot of water, pretty holes, big greens. And, you know, if you're looking for something that's kind of tricked up and really different, this isn't it. But what it is a hub of people who love the game. And that part of Cotton Creek is what was fascinating.
Well, and there's a lot of water everywhere on those courses down there. I mean, if you're looking to not have water, you probably wouldn't go to this part of the country since you are right there, you know, near the ocean and barely above sea level on some of these golf courses. Now there's a second golf course at Kraft Farms that was built later, right?
Yes, 93. And that one's called Cypress Bend. As I said, we didn't get to play it. And there's literally water on almost every hole on Cypress Bend. It's a more open feel of a routing and kind of a little bit further into Arnold Palmer, Ed Say development, if you will. It feels different. I got to see some of the holes. It feels different than Cotton Creek. And I'd love to go back and play that one too. This is just a really kind of gentle spot for golf. That's the way I would look at it. I think Ava agreed with me as far as the actual golf course when she played it. It's friendly, given that it's the hub of a community. He didn't want to build anything that was too tough. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's challenging shots and there's a lot of carries over water and that kind of thing, but it's also built for people to play forward tees, higher handicap players, new players to the game, and you really get that feel. So between Cotton Creek and Cypress Bend, it's kind of a really cool blending of what you would expect out of a 30, 40 year old golf development. But it's got Arnold's name and his imprint all over it.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, we don't think enough sometimes about these types of destinations and how they became the destinations they are. And so I think that's an interesting story about, Arnold's involvement and how, you know, it kind of continued to spiral from there. So many other golf courses you're going to talk about, you know, culminating in Kiva Dunes, which probably gets the most recognition of everybody, mm-hmm. of all the courses down there. But tell me a little bit about the next one, because Gulf Shores Golf Club has its own history.
Yeah, it does. And Gulf Shores kind of blew everybody away. I know it blew me and Ava away, and I know it blew Tony Deer away. And I'll get to that in a second. Gulf Shores was actually the first course that was built in Gulf Shores, Alabama. It was in the 1960s. There's a regional architect, and these exist all over the country. Most people have probably never heard of Earl Stone. But he did a ton of work in the Southeast and up and kind of into the sort of Midwest, Tennessee, Georgia area. But like I said, not a lot of people know about him. But in the 60s, he designed Gulf Shores Golf Club. And in 2005, and this is what really made the difference, it was completely renovated by the father and son team of Jay and Carter Morish. And anybody who knows anything about golf design has heard of Jay Morish. For a number of reasons. He's really one of the great names in American golf course architecture. Started off working for Robert Trent Jones Sr. And in doing some research on Jay, his first job, which I thought was pretty cool, he was the construction supervisor on Spyglass. That was his first job for Robert Trent Jones Sr. But then he worked with George Fazio and then 10 years with the Jack Nicklaus Group. And then he branched off and went on his own and worked for a long time with Tom Weisskopf and Morish Weisskopf, as people may know, responsible for a lot of the great golf courses all over the country, really. True North, Forest Highlands, TPC Las Colinas, Loch Lomond in Scotland, which is a really interesting one. It's the first course in Scotland, the first designed by Americans, was Morish and Weisskopf, which I thought was pretty interesting. So in 2005, Jay and Carter Morish come in and they completely redo Gulf Shores. And when we got there, I literally knew nothing about this golf course. And as we went along and played it, we realized that it was really special in a very different way. The renovations they made, they added 300 yards to the golf course to make it a bit longer for the modern game. They added some water features. But the big revelation to both Tony and I, certainly, were the bunkering things that they did. The features, the bunker featuring on this golf course, they're beautiful. They're really simple and kind of elegant in their own way. And they're strategically placed, not just for golf shots, but for visuals. And you get a really, really peaceful feeling going around Gulf Shores that was unexpected to me. I don't know what I expected really, but it kind of took me back. And this is the best review that I think anybody that knows Tony Deer, who's been around the world, who's written about a ton of golf courses everywhere. And when we finished at Gulf Shores, he said, "I could just retire here and play this golf course forever."
Nice.
Now, I guarantee you there aren't too many courses that Tony could say that, but I think both of us really felt it. And the brilliant thing about it, the value of playing this golf course, kind of the $50 to $60 range for 18 holes.
Can't beat that.
No, and it's really the kind of thing where you go, and it was in great condition. There's nothing super fancy about Gulf Shores, if people are looking for that. But it was a revelatory experience as far as places that I was unaware of that I got to experience.
Now I have to add it to my list when I go down there next time.
Yeah, and I think it's that kind of a place. And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is what's interesting to me about Gulf Shores. We've talked Kraft Farms, Arnold Palmer. You get a place like Gulf Shores, unexpected. But Jay Marsh involved in creating a really great golf course. And it's part of what makes Gulf Shores really interesting to me.
Yep, definitely.
Let's move on to a place that you did get to play at least 18 of the 27 holes. So both of us have played 18 of the 27 at Peninsula Golf and Racquet Club. What's interesting off the bat, there's a spot called Fort Morgan Peninsula, which is kind of, you know, in the Gulf Shores, Orange Beach areas. And we'll talk a little bit about that too when we get to Kiva Dunes, because that's on the Fort Morgan Peninsula also. But it's a really interesting part of the Gulf Shores area in that it kind of sticks out. It's a little bit of a drive from the hotel in Orange Beach, but I think it was about 45 minutes. But once you get there and you realize this is a pretty unusual spot in terms of Mobile Bay and the Gulf of Mexico and where Fort Morgan Peninsula lies, and that's where the Peninsula Golf and Racquet Club is.
And it's another 27 holes by Earl Stone. And, you know, Earl Stone, you mentioned it, that people probably don't know that name, but you literally can't swing a gator in that part of Alabama without hitting an Earl Stone golf course. He's everywhere. And the more you encounter his work, the more you realize, wow, this guy really, he built some fun golf courses and built it on a lot of times on some challenging terrain because of the marshlands and because of the way the land is tucked together. When you talk about the peninsula like this, you know, it and Kiva Dunes, Peninsula and Kiva Dunes are both in that weird little sliver. And when you see, I didn't realize it when I played it, but when I've seen drone photos afterward of those courses, and you see how close the water is on both sides to those developments, you're just like, oh, holy cow. How did this ever all get imagined to put it in here and kind of wedge it in there without it feeling wedged in?
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. And certainly at Peninsula, I played the Lakes 9 and the Marsh 9. I'm not sure which 18 you played.
I want to say we played the Cypress and the Lakes, but I wish I remembered that off the top of my head.
Yeah, but that's, you know, the nines are different. Mm-hmm. I will say that. The Lakes 9 we played first. And the first time you play the Lakes, it's a challenge because there's a lot of blind shots, both from the tee to where you're hitting your drive and into the green complexes. So if you haven't played there before, it can be kind of challenging. And I get that. It's the kind of thing where you want to get back and go ahead and play it again. We didn't have time on this trip. But I enjoyed the Marsh more than I did the Lakes, probably because of that. They're very different nines. The scenery is different. Lakes did feel a little cramped to me. So if you miss a shot, especially not knowing where you're going, you can really pay for it.
Yep.
The Marsh really kind of took me back. It's really beautiful, very scenic layout, and has more of that marshy feel, you know, the land that you were talking about that Stone had to work with. So that nine kind of drew me in. The greens are new. They were completely redone not that long ago. So they were firm. Balls would bounce, but I guarantee you by the spring, these are going to be some great greens to play on. And I really, really enjoyed the Marsh. And as I said, I think going back and getting a chance to play both of them and then play the Cypress too, because the Cypress also is another one that has a lot of the challenges for Stone that the Lakes did, I think.
And what I remember there too is that club, just as a whole, is just a cool, inviting place. It's got a great, it's got a great clubhouse. Kind of the way the whole thing is situated. I just remember walking away from that day of golf thinking, yeah, I could live down here. I could play this place a lot, and there's so much variety. There's also all kinds of great little details. I was there in pretty warm weather. And I remember that the bathrooms were air conditioned, which, you know, you'd
always
you'd,
a good thing.
You'd roll up and, you know, you're sweating like crazy in when we played in the hottest time of the year. And you just walk in there to the bathroom and it's just like, oh, such a, you know, nice moment. They just seem to have figured out all the details at that club. And I didn't even play any tennis, obviously, but, you know, I could go back there and just play tennis too.
Well, here's the great thing about both Peninsula and Kiva Dunes, which we'll get to in a minute. Both being on the Fort Morgan Peninsula, the beach is a huge part of these deals. It's a huge retirement community at Peninsula. I mean, huge.
Right.
And they have access to a private beach there, and the beaches in all of Gulf Shores, but these white sandy beaches that are there are such a big draw. The amenities, as you said, at the club are a big part of why people literally retire there. They go, they think what we felt and what you sensed, which is this is a great spot to retire. It's not, you know, anything that you might have heard of, but these spots are two places that I could really see hanging for a long time. And that's going to lead me to Kiva Dunes, which I had heard about and I'd read about. Knew more about than any of the courses in Gulf Shores, and really was a big draw to wanting to go down there was Kiva Dunes. To me, of the courses that we played, even though each one of them was really different and I enjoyed them, Kiva Dunes was the revelation to me. And of all the golf courses that we played, there were four of them, obviously, Kiva Dunes is the one where if I was anywhere within driving distance, and for us that means, well, for us, that means 10 hours. But for most people, you know, I'm talking 2 hours, 3 hours, it would be worth the drive to get to Kiva Dunes. That's how special to me Kiva Dunes is.
Yeah, I loved it as well. And I just felt like hole for hole, it was a lot of fun. It's not, because of where it is and because, you know, the land itself is not especially spectacular. There's no, you know, huge rises and falls and some of the things that we love in a lot of the golf courses we talk about, but for what it was there and how Jerry Pate was able to design it, I felt like every hole kind of it was its own little world and
story.
Yeah, its own little story. That's the best way to say it. And that you just kind of work your way through that golf course and have a really good time. And so I walked away from it to thinking, yeah, I come back here and love to, I would love to play it two or three more times because I feel like it's really the most of all of these golf courses, the one that successive plays would help you understand it more and more and really just raise your enjoyment of the golf course as you go along.
Yep. And I knew you'd feel that way because of our Strands connection.
Yeah.
I really, you know, obviously every time you get to play a golf course multiple times, you learn more about it. But there are certain ones of them. And the reason for Kiva Dunes to me was the green complexes. I mean, there are some of the sickest green complexes on what otherwise is a fairly gentle terrain course. And depending on where the pins are in those green complexes, there were some hellacious shots.
Yep.
Which made it really fun. You know, which really, really kind of took you to a whole different level of, oh, wait, I better pay attention here. And the more I went through the round, the more I realized that's what he was trying to do. And when you go back, I'm not going to get into it now, but when you really get back into Jerry Pate and who Jerry Pate was and the places that he won and the golf courses that he was able to win on, especially, you know, during the 5 years that 5-6 years when he came out on tour. It's really emblematic of the kind of golf that he could really enjoy and the shot making and the shot maker that he was. And I felt that kind of connection to Kiva Dunes because of who Jerry Pate was. And he went to Alabama. You know a really cool story about Jerry Pate?
What?
He went to the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
And between his time on the regular PGA Tour and the Champions Tour, he went back to Alabama to get his degree. To finish his degree.
Wow, that is a cool story.
I just found that out. But anyway, he's deeply connected to Alabama, and so the ability to bring us Kiva Dunes, you know, to me was just fantastic. 1995, it opened, and it's and again, the staff, everybody there was amazing. There were some golf courses where there's almost a little bit of an extra step. Every place we went, the staff, the service, friendly, great, did things to try to help us out. At Kiva Dunes, it was almost an extra step of here's why we did what we did. They changed greens a bunch, but I think they've redone them three times, if I'm not mistaken, since 1995. And when we were talking about the fact that that's, you don't hear that often, they said every time we figured out something better to do, and they're willing to spend that money. A lot of courses wouldn't because they said, hey, we just redid them. But they went out of their way and said, okay, but we know we can give the player a better experience by doing it.
Yep.
And so they did.
Yeah, and that's important. I would say the one thing for me on the Fort Morgan Peninsula here with Peninsula Golf Club and then with Kiva Dunes, the one thing I wish for, and I understand why it didn't happen, I understand why they couldn't do it, and I understand this is a residential play down there as well, but I wish both of those courses, the 27 at the other place, the 18 holes here, I wish they interacted with the water a little bit more. You're so close to the ocean on both sides, but you don't get to, you don't get that interaction with it as much. And I think maybe that might be a knock for why some people don't go there over other oceanfront type golf courses, whereas the courses themselves, like we said, the hole designs, the, how fun they are, certainly stack up. So, you know, if you were building it all over again in today's modern design, low impact mentality, they would probably design those completely different in terms of getting a little bit closer to the water on some of them. But for the most part, even without that, though, they're still just fun places to go play. And as part of an overall trip, they're outstanding.
Yeah, and I that's a really good point that I hadn't thought about before. And maybe it's because there is so much water on these courses in the form of marsh and lakes and creeks and things like that, that there's water. It's just not the beachfront
right.
kind of bay,
right.
Gulf of Mexico thing that you would like to see.
It's not waves lapping at the you know, at the green or something like that. And a big portion of that is because that land in between the golf course and the beach is valuable. And so, and you know, people wanted to buy houses there, and I'm sure that was the case. And, you know, again, that's not a knock on what is there, and I completely understand why. It was the one thing as I played Kiva Dunes that I wish, I wish we just got a little bit more, a little closer to the actual ocean.
Yeah. And when you look at the routing, though, again, it goes back to what you said about what they had to work with.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so, that sliver of land is you know, it's an engineering feat that they built these golf courses on the Fort Morgan Peninsula anyway. So
yeah,
it is amazing. You know, you had one note in here, the Kiva Beach Club right there. Mm-hmm. So there are places you can rent right behind the 18th green as well at Kiva. And one of my more memorable things was we went up and took a tour of one of those places. We didn't actually stay there, but some of those rooms have great views of almost this amphitheater like 18th hole that has mm-hmm. this big pond behind it that these two complexes kind of come right up to the water on, and you can just watch the resident gator behind the 18th hole swim around, watch people come putting in putting mm-hmm. out on the 18th hole. It's a cool spot to you know, kind of also make a home base if you're able to do that.
Yep. And another thing, we mentioned at Peninsula, but Kiva has it also. They have the Kiva Beach Club, which is private. But if you stay at the resort at Kiva Dunes, you have access.
Right.
And to me, it's a great thing because they have all different kinds of accommodations that you can stay in. It's in the kind of the middle of this beautiful conservation area. As I said, the sand and the beaches there, this at Kiva, it's a mile long and fantastic. And you have access to all the stuff that's at the Kiva Beach Club. Four pools, two restaurants, wet bars, the whole deal. So it's just another layer of Gulf Shores accommodations and a resort that you might want to check out. So
definitely.
All hail Kiva Dunes. All right, before we move on to the food, the bars, the other things to do in Gulf Shores, I'm going to bring in my favorite person on the planet.
I'm already on the podcast, Mitch.
Okay, that was coming. I knew it was coming, and it still has absolutely no meaning to me. My wife, Ava, who, as I said at the top of the show, loves golf, loves travel. We've gone a lot of different places and had a chance to experience Gulf Shores and Orange Beach together. So here is the Striking Viking. Good luck, Darren.
Oh, Ava, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So Mitch takes a lot of couples trips, couples golf trips, but usually I'm the other half of the couple. What's it like to replace me and go on one of these with him?
Well, it was fine for me because I was there, but I don't know if it was as exciting for Mitchell, but I have a feeling it was. I'll take that back. It was. But we all missed you.
Oh, well, that's sweet of you. Tell me a little bit about traveling with other couples, because that's kind of what this podcast is about. We're talking a lot about Alabama, but really it was the fact that you had four, five, six couples all kind of traveling together in a group. What's that like?
It was actually great. I'm not big on like group tours. I don't do, bus tours. I don't do cruises. I'm not a big people person, really, believe it or not. But this was great. I mean, we had fun. Kind of in the first day, it's a little bit strange and you don't know anybody. And by the time we left, it was like, you know, when can we do this again? So we had a great group. We had so much fun with everybody. It was really great.
How did you find the golf courses? Because, I mean, you have game. I've seen it before. You beat Mitch on the regular with your guys' lifetime match that goes on.
That doesn't say much, though. But yeah, go ahead.
How did you find the golf courses from a women's perspective?
I thought it was great. You know, we were talking a lot about this. And, Mitchell and I are part of the South Carolina ratings panel. And when we go out, I kind of have a view of the course from the ladies from the front tees, because I do play from the red tees, and he plays usually from the white tees. So we both have a pretty different experience a lot. Sometimes it is very similar, but I mean, a lot of times kind of the front tees are an afterthought. You know, they're kind of a leaning tee box, and it's you have to hit a 3-wood and then another 3-wood to be able to make it to the green, as opposed to being able to hit drive. So it's just not designed for the forward tees. But the golf that we had there, it was great. I mean, we had a wonderful time. I only played 2 9s and then I played 1 18 because I had to get some spa time in while I was there. So, but we had a great experience. The courses were really good, and I really enjoyed it.
Speaking of spa time, I mean, I think that's one of the things. The relaxation down there is one of the best things to attract couples to come down to Gulf Shores. I mean, you spent some time in the spa. Did you also go out, walk the beach, do all that type of thing?
Yes, the one day. We had one day that was kind of a cold and chilly. Obviously, we live at the beach, so right. I'm already spoiled with that. But our room, the view of my room was right over the beach. It was beautiful. What I liked about it too is that it's a very peaceful place. I had no idea. I'd never been there, never thought like, oh, that's a destination I want to go to. But that changed my opinion completely of that area. I mean, and they've left a lot of pristine areas that they haven't developed and kind of made the parks of parts of the beach and really made it a peaceful destination is the best way I can put it. I mean, a lot of fun places too to go out and have a good time at restaurants and bars and all that, but it really a tranquil place.
Is there one thing you remember from the trip most of all?
Yeah, I think Bob the masseuse, I think. He was real good. No, the whole experience, our hotel was magnificent. It was like a timeshare. It was absolutely amazing. Every restaurant, we were really surprised. Every restaurant was great. I mean, really, really top-notch superfood. And obviously the golf. So I think the whole experience, it just kind of, you know how you go to a place and you expect something, and this one threw me for a loop a little bit. Because at first I said to Mitchell, I don't really feel like going. I said, I don't know, Gulf Shores, Alabama, I don't know. And as much as I've traveled through my career and my life, just never been there. And it was a huge positive surprise.
Well, Mitch and I are going to talk more about the food in a little while. But the fact that you say that is really
important to you, I know.
Well, obviously it's important to me, but it also is really saying something because Myrtle Beach has a pretty good food scene. And so it's not like you guys are just eating, you know, beans out of a can all the time where you live most of the year.
True story.
So you find – when you find places that are new restaurants that really appeal to you, I think that says something.
Yeah, it was really great. And they had we had a chance to meet all the chefs at each location, and they kind of gave us a background as to why the menu was set up. It was the different foods and some of the background of the actual restaurant itself. So I was really impressed. It didn't feel like it was just somebody cooking. It was true chefs at every place that we went. And then there was the yard. And every bite of ice cream, we thought of you, just so you know.
Yeah,
so you were
well,
kind of there.
We'll talk about the yard a little bit more. So my last question for you is, do you want to do more of these now?
Yeah, I mean, unless Mitchell insists on continuing to date you, I'll go. I hate to I hate to break up a bromance, but
oh my goodness! Now I'm going to have to go to therapy just to get that out of my head.
No, absolutely. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind at all. I really enjoyed it.
Is there any place that he talks about that you would really love to go with him on a couple's golf trip? It's his 70th year on the planet, Ava. It's time to you know, really do something.
Well, I've already booked a time at, you know, Go Lucky's putt-putt course down here in Myrtle Beach. So we're going to hit that for his 70th.
Happy birthday, Mitch.
Yeah, lucky guy.
All right. Well, I'm glad you got to go. I'm sad you had to replace me, but he was probably much happier to be traveling with you than me. And hopefully we'll go on one of these some other time. And I mean, you and I have traveled together as well. And so one of these days, you and Mitch and my wife and I will all go somewhere, hopefully, and have a good time.
That sounds great. And if they can't make it, you and I'll just go.
Well, that's a good idea, too.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, so there you go, the one and only Ava. You know, listeners to the podcast, Aaron, are always connected to Ava because she, of course, introduces both you and I at the top of every Talking Golf Getaways.
I was going to point that out, that I don't know if most people know that that is her voice at the very beginning.
Ah, now they do.
Yeah.
All right, we've talked about golf. We've talked generally about Gulf Shores. Let's talk about what I think was a really big part of this trip and reason enough to go to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, and that is the food and bar and fun component of this destination.
Yeah, exactly. The nightlife really is a shining star for Gulf Shores. But I want to go back to something that Ava said. She made the point that you guys got to meet the chef at each place you went. And I know that's not a common thing, but it's also not something that you can't, as a golf traveler, random golf traveler out there, it's not something that you can't ask for. And there is something to be said for talking to the chef at a restaurant when you go to a restaurant, especially if it's a place where you've had a meal and you really like it. A lot of times, if you just ask your server, the chef will come out and talk to you for a few minutes and talk to you about, you know, about what they did, what their concepts are for the restaurant. A lot of times, the chef really likes to talk about what they're trying to accomplish, and it's a really good way to understand the food scene more as you go from place to place.
Yeah, and I am in such agreement with you on that. And that's one of the biggest things that we, I know Ava mentioned it, and to me, it, you know, Pam and Kay, I mentioned them at the beginning of the podcast, and the way they set things up is to really give us an appreciation for what all these different elements of Gulf Shores and Orange Beach are about. And to them, they understand that talking to a chef at the kind of restaurants that we were at that exist in Gulf Shores is a big part of the experience. It's not just going into a restaurant and saying, hey, they got a good menu and you eat and leave. It's really a big part. And I love the point you're making to actually ask when you go into places like that, I'd love to talk to the chef. Is he or she available?
Yep.
You know, can we get a word in because this has been great? And I'm going to mention a couple of them as we go. I want to just kind of quickly run through it because I know people haven't been there and you're talking about a specific restaurant, specific food items. You can kind of go, okay, great. I'll go, but I do want to mention a couple. Before I do that, though, Darren, a couple quick notes about, we just made, during this trip, a couple of quick stops, more than really spending time like we did at the restaurant. So I want to mention a couple of them. One is at a place called Cosmos in Orange Beach. We had some appetizers there. And people listening, if you just want to jot these down, good idea, because there are places you can hit and just grab little things as you go. Another big revelation was a place called The Hangout. Did you make it to The Hangout?
I did not, but that seems appropriately named.
Oh, I'm telling you, this is another spot where you kind of go, okay, cool, we're going to The Hangout. It's a cool name. This place is off the charts. It is right on the beach in this beautiful white sand area. And I was going to kind of get into a little bit more of the reclamation of the Gulf Shores area when I'm talking about the first restaurant called The Perch. But The Hangout is another spot where, after Hurricane Ivan hit in 2004 and completely devastated the Gulf Shores area, they came in and they reclaimed, and over the last 15 years have put millions and millions of dollars into making this a spectacular spot. And The Hangout is one of those places. It's right on the beach. There's a whole beach area next to it. And you go into The Hangout, they have lunch, they have dinner, but it is a party scene. And you would love it. You go in and the whole restaurant is themed for enjoyment, for adults, for kids. They have the coolest toy collection of any restaurant I've ever been in, for sure. And half of it's on the walls.
Nice.
They have toy little those miniature racing cars on the walls. They have a Pez dispenser exhibit display on the ceiling of the restaurant. That is, for those of us who grew up with Pez dispensers, I mean, this was great. They have just fun stuff. And kids go crazy here because there's all kinds of stuff to look at. But the biggest draw of The Hangout, for anybody who knows about music festivals, for years, and I mean years, they have had a three-day music festival at The Hangout and that whole part of the beach that is literally world famous. It's a three-day event. It happens in May every year. And the first hit you get on it, if you're not really aware, they have posters from all the acts that have performed over the years there. And so when I say it's a music festival and you think, oh, cool, it's a music festival, they have a main stage outside the restaurant in the back that probably seats, I would say, probably 500 people. They have different bars and music spots up and down the beach for all these people to play. But just randomly, these are the kind of people, everybody from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Stevie Wonder, Paul Simon, Dave Matthews, to Cardi B, Widespread Panic, and Chance the Rapper. Oh. So you've got people from way before my time to everybody modern now who wants to get in on this action at the Hangout Music Festival. This place is really off the charts if you want to go and just grab lunch or go in the late afternoon, hang at the beach, have a drink. This place is great.
This sounds like somewhere we need to go in May.
Yes. I literally can't think of a better spot to go and play some golf and hang out.
Yep.
But speaking of hangouts, because we have already talked about Floribama.
Yes, we have.
And I had never had the chance to experience it. You've talked about it. We had Tom Bedell on, you and he, and we talked about it on the podcast with Tom Bedell. And getting to experience Floribama, if you haven't been there, this is worth a trip to Gulf Shores.
So you had not, when we talked about this on the podcast with Tom, you had not been there yet, correct?
No, not at all. So again, I'm listening to you guys rave about being bushwhacked and drinking the strongest drink you can possibly drink. And the music and the bar scene and the different levels. And I was kind of going, man, this sounds really cool, which is the way you feel about the Hangout. But again, until you've been to Floribama, you have no idea what this total experience is. We were there during the Songwriters Festival. So on every floor, they had different songwriters. And then they have the main room, you know, which is like an amphitheater
yep.
atmosphere of different balcony levels and people drinking and singing and people you've never heard of who are off the charts great. I mean, literally every one of them, you would go, where have they been?
Right.
And the whole atmosphere and the party sense and different kinds of people from all over the world. It was just mind-boggling. I was totally blown away by Floribama.
Floribama makes me think of, like, anytime you watch a movie about the South and there's some scene that's set in some musical bar, you know, where you just find this incredible cross-section of people, that's what makes me think of the Floribama. I'm like, well, that's the Floribama right there. You know, all these different levels, and it doesn't matter whatever room you go into, you're getting different kind of music. You see everything from bikers to preppies to old people like you to young kids. It's just, it's amazing. And it's just, it is a true melting pot of kind of what people are like, when we're just at our core, you know, just going out and having a good time and partying.
Yep. And one of the great example, and we've talked about Tony Deer and Michelle already a lot, but there was a great experience that we had. We were sitting at the balcony on one level and looking down at these guys that were playing down on the floor. And Tony struck up a conversation with these people sitting next to him that were from England. And they wound up having this incredible conversation and about music and Gulf Shores and traveling and everything else. And it was a perfect example of you're in this strange kind of Twilight Zone bar place drinking Bushwhackers. And next thing you know, you've got that conversation going on.
Nice.
And it was perfect. All right. So Ava mentioned the yard. I heard her talk about ice cream.
And we've talked about the
yard.
Yeah,
before.
But it bears repeating that if you're looking for just to make your own craziest concoction ice cream sundae in a jar with whatever you can possibly imagine, the yard is the place to go. It seems like it's where I had Krispy Kreme in my Sunday.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm
sure. You literally can pretty much have everything you want.
Yeah.
More or less. And to call it an ice cream sundae that doesn't even work.
And we should.
That's the understatement of the year.
And we should say, I probably never said this before on the thing though, but it is not a quick in and out. It's not like you're just running to 31 flavors and getting yourself a scoop and rolling out. You know, you want to plan a full hour and then some, because the line to that place is usually out the door, regardless of which one you go to.
Yeah.
And it takes you, you know, takes you almost 2 hours to eat it after you get it.
And then clean it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they have that station with a big, you know, metal sink that you, after you eat whatever concoction you've made, you go over and you yourself can clean it out in this sink so you can take home the jar that the sundae is coming.
I have multiple yard jars here at my house.
I'll bet you do. And I'm sure Jill's really happy. All right. So those were a few of the places we hit. Let's talk. I'll say quickly, but we could spend an entire podcast just talking about the brilliance of the restaurants. And I don't say that lightly, because you and I have experienced a lot of great restaurants. But another thing that we were blown away by was the level of culinary expertise and variety in a really short distance from each other that exists in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach.
Yep.
And it's really mind-boggling. I'm going to start with a place called The Perch. It's at the Lodge at Gulf State Park, and it's a Hilton Hotel property. And the reason I wanted to start with it is I mentioned about the reclamation after Hurricane Ivan in 2004. And the state park is, Gulf State Park is, might be the best example of the kind of work that's been done over the 15 years in Gulf Shores, in the Gulf Shores area, because they came in and, again, millions and millions of dollars were funded to go ahead and reclaim. There was a lot of controversy at one point over where the money was going and how it was going to be used, but they came up with a way to deal with all of it. And this Hilton Hotel property where The Perch is really, really stunning. It's got amazing views over the Gulf. It's I can't even describe how clean, beautiful, natural the actual spot looks where this Hilton property is. And they've turned the state park into what, the more I learned sitting at dinner at The Perch, the more kind of in awe I was. It's turned into this vacation and recreation spots that any place in the country would be more than happy to call its own. It's got 2.5 miles of white sand beaches. It's got nature and hiking trails, fishing and swimming pools, campgrounds, RV parks, all spread out over this area of the state park. And the property at the lodge is when you go in there and you see what they've done, and then they have a number of restaurants at this property. And the perch, I thought at first when they said the perch, I thought it was the fish, the perch, the little fish that you catch. And I thought, well, seafood, kind of a seafood restaurant. But then I realized when I got to the second floor, it's perch, meaning what a beautiful spot to hang, to be perched. And that's really what it is. They have an amazing outdoor area with fire pits. And this was the first experience that we had of the kind of chef-driven menus. And all these places have something in common. All of them are full of only locally sourced fresh seafood from the Gulf area. And it's a big deal. We constantly say, well, someplace had a great menu and it may be flown in from wherever. None of these places that I'm going to mention deal with it like that. So obviously the fish dishes, shrimp, oysters, etc. And of course, something you'd probably be interested in, the braised octopus.
Oh, baby.
That caught me a little by surprise, but we got to...
That's really the only way to eat octopus, to be honest, Mitch.
Is braised. Yes. I would say so, yeah. Unless you're a sushi person, well, that's a whole different story. But Pam and Kay gave us a chance to sample a lot of these restaurant menus, so they brought out all kinds of dishes for us to try, and the perch food was off the charts. Great dessert, cheesecake in a mason jar, speaking of mason jars from the yard. That was good. They have a late night menu at the Perch also. So it's the kind of place that if you wind up staying at the lodge, you're going to have all kinds of opportunities to enjoy everything from breakfast to a late night snack. And it's the perfect place to do it.
Nice.
So check out the Perch, the lodge at Gulf State Park.
You know, I am incredibly interested in one of the items on your list here of the places you went, that one of the restaurants was at a zoo. And I'm fascinated to hear this story. I did not get to go to the Gulf Coast Zoo when I was down there, but you know, tell me a little bit about the Safari Club, because did I read it right that the slogan says proudly serving herbivores, omnivores, and carnivores?
That is their slogan.
That is awesome.
That is their slogan. And obviously the spot, the location of this place, when we found out, first you see, okay, we're going to a place called the Safari Club, no idea what this is about. And then you see at Gulf Coast Zoo, and you're going, okay. And we got there for dinner, so it was kind of later in the afternoon, early evening. When you pull in, the zoo itself is new. The Alabama Gulf Coast Zoo is pretty much brand new. They have all kinds of animals, as you would imagine they do at a zoo. Giraffe. I didn't actually get to see the giraffe because it was kind of time of day where it was in seclusion. I think there are two there. But regardless, that's the kind of atmosphere that you're in. So again, talk about going back to places. I really wanted to go back during the day and catch the zoo and all the animals. But what I loved about the Safari Club, and again, I want to keep hitting this because I have never been as aware in one location of how connected to the environment, the reclamation of the Gulf Shores area, and the kind of work the community has done together to make all these places. You feel so good being where you are when you go to eat at these restaurants. So let me just give you a quick piece of information about this. This was one of the couple chefs I'm going to mention, a guy named Greg Bouchemol, and I'm hoping I pronounce his name right. If I don't, I apologize. Greg Bouchemol is the chef, and he came in and he talked to us. Now, we're sitting in this private room, and he really starts to explain what the international menu at the Safari Club is about. And in doing so, and it's all obviously kind of an animal theme design to the whole place, really beautiful. They have a place called the Bar Tusk, it's called. And at first you go in and you see kind of tusk and you're going, oh, it's a little, I'm not sure about what the, until you realize that a portion of every drink that they sell goes to elephant rescue in Africa and Asia.
Nice.
And it kind of gets back to the same thing I'm talking about. But anyway, this is what they, if you go to the website for the Safari Club, it says this is a green restaurant. And when they say that, they're not kidding around. Everything locally sourced. They have their own vegetable gardens to grow fruits, vegetables, all the stuff that they use. There's no styrofoam. Everything there in this restaurant is recyclable and biodegradable. The extra food that they create for these dishes, which are off the charts great, all of the stuff is done with animals in mind. So if there's extra food, they figure out a way to use it to feed the animals in a healthy way for that particular animal. So there isn't, when he came in and started talking, the whole focus of the people there, I mean, I think we were really mesmerized by what Greg was talking about. And it spreads to the whole team, everybody that works there. The menu itself, they have everything you want, lunch, dinner, tapas, pizza, tacos, brilliant entrees of all different kinds, obviously seafood, a great wine list. And as you said at the top, and which just threw me, because they have a complete vegan menu. And what I saw proudly serving herbivores, omnivores, and carnivores, I said, okay, they get it.
Nice.
They really get it. So check out the Safari Club. You can go to their website and learn a lot more. Another place that I don't think you went to, which, again, I sound like a broken record, but this place was amazing. The weather, Ava mentioned that it was kind of cold when we were down there.
Right.
So there were a couple things that we had planned on doing that because of the weather, and a couple days were really cold and high winds. And one of the things we were supposed to do during the day was go on a fishing trip. And we didn't get to do that. And I was okay with that. I've been on a fishing boat before. But the part that intrigued me was at the next restaurant I'm going to talk about, which is called Fin and Fork.
One of my favorite names.
Orange Beach. And it's really true. And it's a family-owned place. And the reason I was upset that we didn't go fishing is because this is a place where you can bring your own catch. So if we had gone out during the day, and let's just say I would have caught, well, probably 20, 30 fish, given the kind of fisherman I am, you can bring the fish in and they will cook it for you there for your meal that night. And at a price that's just stupid to me, $15. You bring it in and they cook it for $15. The prices at Fin and Fork were so value-oriented that if you hadn't tasted how great this food is, you would think there was something wrong. And again, the creativity of the family and the people that are cooking, everything's local, everything's prepared fresh during the day. Great seafood, all the Gulf seafood. I had crab beignet, which was just so good. I want to go now. I might take my headphones off and leave and go now. Bayou crab claws, great oysters, full sushi menu. The steaks, they have a privately farmed Black Angus beef place they get all their steaks from. And again, the value of the restaurant, off the charts. They have a $50 full meal option where you can pick from first course, second course, entrees, and desserts for $50 that you'd kill for. It's just a great, great place called the Fin and Fork.
It sounds tasty, and another place that I need to add to the list. You know, what's interesting about this podcast is usually I'm the one who's just rattling off all kinds of food. And now, you know, the tables have turned.
I know. It's true. Literally, the table has turned, even though you didn't mean it that way. The last place I'm going to talk about, and we did have lunch, I want to mention, we had lunch at a couple different places running from golf to different things. And again, they're too numerous to mention, but we really appreciated all the things that different people did kind of at the golf courses and, you know, different places. I'm going to just try to see if I can find one. We had lunch at a place called Villaggio at the Wharf, which was great. A couple of the golf courses, we just went, okay, we're going to nail some lunch. So they were wonderful too. But it seems fitting to wrap up the story of Gulf Shores and the restaurant food part with a place called Voyagers. I mentioned earlier that there's a resort called Perdido Beach Resort. It's in Orange Beach, and it's another fantastic place to stay if you're hitting this part of the Gulf Coast in Alabama. But in the Perdido Beach Resort is a restaurant called Voyagers, and they have a number of restaurants there. They have four of them, I believe. And the one guy who is over all four of the food properties inside the Perdido Beach is a guy named Brody Oliver. And this guy, the same way I talked about Greg at Safari Club, these people, and we didn't get to meet the female chefs that are in the area too, but the two guys we met are just off the charts cool. They so get what all this is about in terms of an experience. You and I talk a lot about the experience of places we go, and this was one of them. This is it's a high-end restaurant, the Voyagers. They have other ones at Perdido that are a little, you know, more moderately priced, but Voyagers is a higher-end place with absolutely stunning panoramic views of the Gulf. They have floor-to-ceiling windows that knock your socks off when you walk in and you get the views, especially at sunset. And the wait staff at this place, I tried to figure out a way to explain what the experience of eating there was like. So there were probably 15 of us, the 12 on the trip, and then Pam and Kay, and maybe so 15, 16 people. And in the middle of a pretty big dining room, we felt like we had a private dining experience, the kind you'd have in a private room by yourself, because of the attention of the waitstaff. And I don't know if I've had that kind of experience in the middle of a restaurant before. All of them, every person on the waitstaff, their knowledge of the food, of the wine, what we were going to eat, the different choices that we had was incredible. And I mean really incredible, not just throwing it out there. But it's if you can get to it, if you go down to Gulf Shores, Voyagers is one of those places. And Darren, you and I like to drink some wine occasionally.
Yeah, a little bit.
130 different kinds of wines from 8 countries. Wine Spectator Award of Excellence in 2019. And I swear to you that the waitstaff knows every one of them. They talked about different kinds and why you should have it with the food. The stuff. They're also, again, obviously the Gulf food, seasonal, sustainable, local, and they are part of what's called the Gulf Wild brand of seafood, which I thought was wonderful. It means that everything that's caught and served is responsibly caught and harvested by local fishermen operating in the Gulf of Mexico. They don't take anything that doesn't fall under that characteristic. So I could talk about the weird and amazing food that Chef Brody Oliver prepared for us, ostrich carpaccio, which I hadn't had and probably won't have again. It was great, but I mean, I don't know that I'll be any place that serves
that's
it.
That's right. There's not a lot of ostrich houses out there serving food.
No, Moroccan spiced calamari. I'm trying to get you really hungry. Fried green tomato crab stack, which was just stupidly good.
That sounds like something so southern that is just glorious.
Yeah. Broiled spiny lobster tails. Which I know you'd love.
The best. Spiny lobster tails are the best.
Yeah. I had venison chop, which was fantastic, and vegetables that were great. All of it, the whole experience. And again, Voyagers at Perdido Beach Resort in Orange Beach. And a great way to wrap up a discussion of food in Gulf Shores. No. Worth the trip just for the restaurant.
Yeah, I'm ready to go find some food right now.
All right, quickly, I'm going to just drop a couple other things in. You know, because it was a couples trip, some of the people didn't play golf. They got to do, Ava mentioned she went for a spa trip. That was at the Beach Club, which is also a Spectrum resort. And she had a great massage. I know some of the other people went there. Blew off golf one of the days, which, sorry, that's them. That's not me. But they did have a great experience at the spa at the Beach Club. And a couple people had a really, really interesting experience. They blew off some golf. I think played 9 holes, although I can't quite remember. But they went to do glass blowing. There's a place called the Coastal Arts Center. And they went to blow glass. You'll pardon the expression. And they actually, and I wish I could remember who it was that went, but I can't. We were doing so much. But afterwards, when I talked to whichever couple decided to go to the Coastal Arts Center and do the glass blowing thing, I asked them if they enjoyed it and was it worth not playing golf? And they said, absolutely. One of the coolest experiences that they'd ever had. So there's little stuff around town that you can do, too. If you want to choose to take a couple's kind of trip or a family's kind of trip, there really is interesting, fun stuff to do in the Gulf Shores Orange Beach area.
It's just such a lively area all down there. And at the same time, like you said at the very beginning of the show, you know, it's a lively area, but it also is incredibly laid back. And I think that's just such a great mix.
I agree. I can't say any more. I've said all I can say. The thing is to go back to Gulf Shores and do more and revisit some of these great places. So again, thanks to Pam Shaheen and Kay Mahan for all they did. Shout out to Faith Henley also. I wanted to do that. She really helped a lot. Gulf Shores and Orange Beach Tourism the best. If you have questions about any of it, feel free to contact them. Or another reminder, you can go to gulfshores.com, or for golf packages, coastalalabamagolf.com. All the information you need about really taking a great getaway. Can't say enough about it.
And as always, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without you, each and every one of you who are out there listening. Follow us at Golf Trip Experts on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Hit us up with your thoughts about the best in golf travel. If you have been to the Gulf Shores, we want to hear, you know, about your experiences and your stories and some of the places that maybe we didn't mention in any of the Alabama coverage that you've been. You know, if you've got a hot spot or something special that that we need to check out on our next trip, because we're definitely going back.
That's for sure. And it's always been a dream of mine to take a trip with my wife and or great friends. I got to do it again in Gulf Shores and Sweet Home, Alabama. Hoping you can run down some of your dreams too. So long. Yeah, run down a dream.